Okay, ladies. So
indeed,
We're studying chapter 32 of Tanya, and we've already begun. This is the second session.
Well, I'll just listen. Thank you. I'll get the newsletter.
This is the second session, and we are halfway down where it says Ki Yisoy B'Shoresh. Yeah, now in English, I'll tell you where it is. For the root, the basis and root, on the right hand column, if you look here, look for the basis and root. Do you see that? Here, look. For the basis and root of the entire Torah. Ki yisoid v'shoresh kol ha-Torah, because the basis and root of the whole Torah, hu lahag bi lahalos ha-nefesh shel ha-guf, is to realize the special significance of the soul more than any other aspect of the person. Now, this is really answering the question, how is it that when the person asked Hillel, tell me the whole Torah while I stand on one foot, he said, you know what the whole Torah is? Don't do to anyone else what you wouldn't like done to you. That is the whole Torah, and the rest is commentary. In other words, love and consideration and concern for everyone else, that is the whole Torah. Now, why is that the whole Torah? In what way is that the whole Torah? Surely the Torah has things like kashrus, it has things like davening, it has things like learning Torah, it has things like not. You know, there are lots of other laws. But he explains that the basis of the Torah is to see the special quality of the soul rather than the body. Maila maila, to see the soul as tremendously exalted, ad ikra b'shoshe d'chol almin, till you see that the root of the soul goes to the very source of all the worlds. Da'ahainu b'mekon neshomas kol Yisrael, you see that the soul comes from the source of the souls of the whole Jewish people, and that's infinitely exalted. And when you perceive that, you realize that we are all unified together. If that, you see, everything we do in Torah increases our awareness of the spiritual. When a person davens, they feel more sensitive to spirituality. When a person is keeping kosher, now why are they keeping kosher? Because there are spiritual laws from the Torah telling us this is what we can eat and this is what we can't eat. So at every step that a person is keeping a mitzvah, what they're actually doing is increasing their own awareness of ruchnius, of spirituality. When you give tzedakah, when you give charity to another person, you're aware that on a materialist level, a person is just concerned to have what he or she possesses. But on a more spiritual level, what you have belongs to other people as well. You can see that if another person needs something, you're ready to give it to them. So that way of seeing that the spirit is higher than matter, than physical matter, and even than the physical body, lemahavi echod be'echod dafka. And so therefore one sees the unity of the neshamas, of the souls of the entire Jewish people, that they're all unified together. And not, God forbid, when there is separation, disunity, argument among people, among their souls, the presence of the divine is only there when it is a wholesome place. And it's a wholesome place when people aren't fighting together, when they are in accord with each other, when they love each other, when they're concerned for each other. Or Kamoche Kosov, as we say in the prayers, Borcheinu Avinu Kolonu Ke'echod, our Father, please bless us, all of us together, Bo'or Panecho, in the radiance of your countenance. In other words, how can we ask God to bless us? when we are all together, then we get this special, beautiful blessing from Hashem. As we explain elsewhere at length. Now, so that means that we have to love everyone. And that's a very important principle of the Torah.
Everyone?
That's not possible. Everyone? Well, you try, but it's not always possible to love everyone.
Well, the level of love, well, what's your question, Marilyn?
Well, we've always spoke about this last week. It's impossible to love when people are being very
when
bad.
People are being nasty.
Yes.
Mm. But it's not that you don't love them. It's just you don't like what they're doing. It's not.
Well, that's
them, it's just
now Michelle's made a very interesting point. Mm. You see, and here we come actually to a rather subtle distinction which is made in the Talmud. And that's what he's going to quote now. What happens when people are doing wrong? And they might be doing serious wrong. They might be doing wrong to you, God forbid. Or they might be doing wrong to someone else. Could be even worse. If they're doing wrong to you, so you could say, well, I don't mind. But if you see them doing wrong to someone else, you can't say, I don't mind. Maybe you should be standing up and protecting the other person and not letting them do wrong to him. Right? So now the Gemara deals with this, and he quotes this now. Now what it says in the Gemara, Shami Sharaya Bechaveda, if someone sees his colleague Shachota, that he sinned, he's done something seriously wrong. It actually you're quite right there. There is a mitzvah. Michelle's spot on. There is a mitzvah called Hocheyach Tochiyach, that you should reprove another person who's doing wrong, and you should tell them that they've done something wrong, and you should try and make sure that they really understand what you're saying, which might mean saying it to them several times or in different ways, finding ways to bring it home to them that what they've done is wrong. Now what it says in the Talmud in brief, that if someone sees someone else, a colleague of theirs, that he's sinned, he's done something really bad, mitzvah l'sanoiso, he should actually not love him, hate him. V'gam loyme l'raboy, and also you should tell your teacher, see, this is the person who's studying with you, and you've both got the same teacher. You should actually tell your teacher, you know what, this person, he did such and such a terrible thing, there's a whatever it is, it's like something which is really negative, and you have to blow the whistle. You can't just let it happen. It's something that you need to take steps about. See, we sometimes have a philosophy. Well, you know, it's a free country. It's not a free country, especially if you see someone else doing something which is. Certainly if it's something affecting other people, then you, every one of us, has a responsibility to do something about it.
In peril of your life.
Sometimes.
If it's in Hackney.
Yes, all right. Now, so here it makes the point. Let's say that what we're talking about, it's not actually something damaging other people, but it's something which is pretty firmly against the Torah. He's doing something against the Torah. Now, how should you respond? So he says, "Hainu bechaveru b'Torah u'mitzvos." We're talking here about your colleague. That means someone who is at the same level as you in his study of Torah and keeping mitzvos. He should be. He's had the same background, the same education. And he's begun doing something which is very wrong. Ukvakimboy, now you've already kept, as regards this man, the mitzvah that Michelle mentioned, the mitzvah that you should reprove your friend and tell him he's doing wrong. You've already done that.
I keep now, saying to Mr. Potash, don't put pips in your coffee. They're toxic.
Oh, right. So
they've been 2 years.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't listen.
He's given them up.
He's given them up. Okay.
I think he listened to you.
No, he had to hear it from somebody else.
No.
Can I? Oh, can I just make?
Yes.
And I know sometimes you do, but sometimes you get another reaction. If you see maybe a colleague, work colleague, and you go to the manager and you say this is not right. At the end of the day, sometimes it turns back on you that you shouldn't have interfered with it. That's between me and another colleague. It's not for you. Your place to interfere. That was between me and your fellow colleagues. Not for you to tell
me. It doesn't
me.
Actually work.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? Do you know what I'm trying to say, Doctor? Yeah, and the manager could turn around and say to you, well, I appreciate that or whatever. So, but that's between me and your other. It's nothing to do with you.
Right.
It's not your place to tell
right.
me.
Right,
you know,
right.
Do you know what I'm trying to say? It can well, go that way as well. It and at the end of that, it can backfire on you as well, that you shouldn't have interfered.
Well, you see, a work structure...
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying.
You know?
But a work structure is could be a slightly different thing in the kind of work, you know, that people work in a big store like you do or things
exactly
like that.
Like an example.
When you're talking about a teacher...
Yeah.
The teacher has got responsibility for every aspect of the pupils who are under his care.
Mm.
You know, so if there is a pupil who's done doing something very problematic, then it's very important that the teacher gets informed about that and takes the appropriate steps.
No, I was only making an example.
Yes, no, you're quite right. That there are situations
where if you try to help or maybe help another colleague, when he went to a manager, the manager could turn around and say, "I'm sorry, it's nothing to do with you. That's between me and." And you were trying to help maybe a fellow worker or your friend or colleague or something, you know.
It often needs a very careful thought what to do. Yeah. And here he's saying, so the point is, the first thing you should do if you see someone doing something wrong, you should talk to them themselves.
Mm.
You don't have to go behind their back. First of all, talk to them. You should reprove your friend, amitecho. And you can understand this word, amitecho, as meaning am she'itecho. The people who are at the same level of you, b'torah u'mitzvos, in studying of Torah and learning and keeping mitzvos. So you've told him that he shouldn't be doing that, and you've tried to explain it to him. V'afal pichein, and even so, lo yishov mechato, he hasn't stopped doing the bad thing. K'mo shekotzev b'sefer Charedim, as it says in a certain book about this issue, that where it's talking about a problem among colleagues who are both studying in the yeshiva or something like that, both at the same level, and one of them has started doing something wrong, and this is really a serious problem, and you have to try to persuade him not to do it. But then there's a whole lot of other people. Avo misha einu chaveiro, but someone who's not your colleague, not your friend, he's not particularly close to you, it's just another person in the city. About this, Hillel Azokin said, "Havi mitalmidov shel Aaron." This is what he says in Ethics of the Fathers. Be one of the disciples of Aaron Hakoyim. Oyev shalom, you should love peace, etc. Oyev esabrios, and love simple people, umakavan l'toira, now, or even people who are very negative, but you should love those people and draw them close to the Torah. Loima, which means she'av, that even though those people had a choikim mitoiras Hashem ba'abodasa, unfortunately at this moment they're very far from the Torah and from keeping the law of Hashem and serving God. And therefore a very unusual word is used for them as people. It calls them brios, which means creatures, and we don't normally use the word creatures speaking about a person. Why is this word creatures used about them? Because they're actually so low, they do such negative things.
I'm biting my lip. I'm holding back here.
Okay. But what Hillel says is people who actually do a lot of negative things, our attitude to them has to be Tzorech lemoshchon bechavle avoses afa. We have to try and draw them close with cords of love. Now they may be in a very negative situation.
What do you mean they're very low? They're low in morale.
Yeah, moral.
Moral, yes. So they're far from Torah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're Jew. Talk about Jewish people far from Torah.
And if they're non-Jewish people?
Well, then it's a question. You see, with non-Jewish people, you have to try to communicate the seven Noahide laws. Okay. Right? Now, that does require, you see, any Jewish person is in a sense your brother or your sister. Sometimes there can be terrible family arguments with your brother and your sister as well, your real brother and sister.
Oh, yeah.
But in general, the Jewish people are like one family. For example, now, just now, there was this tragedy thousands of miles away, and most people have never met any of the people involved. And yet, it's struck the Jewish world very much. And all over the world, there are different big meetings in memory of the people who died. So everyone takes it as if it's a family, a huge family. Now, outside that family, one has to deal not only fairly with people, we actually have the responsibility to help people come close to Hashem. Now, if you see a person doing bad, you have to consider what you are able to do, and it might be that you can be a very caring and loving person who helps every human being come closer to Hashem. And that is a very, very beautiful way that a person can live, where any human being in the world can be helped by them, and in that way the world as a whole will grow and will become more and more filled with the spiritual illumination of Torah. On the other hand, it might be that for someone, it's out of their depth. You know, if a 16-year-old girl meets another girl who's taking drugs, who's doing this, who's doing that, it might be out of her depth to try to deal with it herself. Could be, she could still be a good friend, but she has to be wary what she is getting into. Okay. And so we need to have borders. Borders are very important. At the same time, so we need borders where to close the doors and know that you're safe inside. Sometimes you open the doors and you know when it's appropriate to open them. But it needs a lot of very careful evaluation, because people can get into situations which are absolutely beyond them, and they think they're doing something good, helping the other person. But in fact, unfortunately, the other person is drawing them down, down, down into the mud. So right at the very beginning of the Hasidic movement, see, this really is the ethos, this is the idea of the whole Hasidic movement, that you've got to help people, even people who are in very negative situations, as Marilyn put it, morally they have a problem, and spiritually they have a problem. So Rabbi Jacob Yosef of Bolonoya, who was one of the teachers of Hasidism around 1770, he said, you can imagine it like someone is drowning in the river and you're trying to pull them out. You got to be very careful that they don't pull you in, right? So you have to know how to do it. And sometimes that can be a very delicate issue, and so you need to have advice and also certain ways of strengthening the person, so that the person who's doing the pulling out of the river, you have to hold on to something higher than you. You have to have an ideal, a strong ideal. Then when you've got your own strong ideal, like for example the Rebbe gives us beautiful teachings of Torah, and shows how the whole Torah is all focused on love of one's fellow and love of Hashem and love of the Torah, and that through that Mashiach is going to come. So that's like a handle that you can hold on to. When you're holding on to that handle, you can reach into the water and pull someone out of the water. But if you don't have a firm handle to hold on to, it can be weak, and the person that you're trying to help could pull a person down. And when it's someone in your own family, generally there are limits how low they fall. But outside that family, one can see the most horrific things. And then comes the question, how you deal with that kind of situation. And so it's a delicate matter. But here we're looking at the case of, within the Jewish community, the idea that you're trying to bring people closer to Torah. And you draw them closer with love. And you have this love for them, b'chuli hai ba'ulai, and perhaps it'll be yuchul l'kov, and you'll be able to draw them close to the Torah study, v'avodas Hashem, to serving God, to keep mitzvahs. Now here comes a very striking phrase, v'hein loy, but if not, in other words, you love them, and in fact your loving them didn't have any effect on them. They didn't start eating kosher, or they didn't stop doing whatever it is they're doing. They didn't have any positive effect that you can see. Loi hifsitzcha mitzvah sabbas rein. You haven't lost the mitzvah of love of your fellow. There's nothing wrong with the fact that you love this person because you're keeping the mitzvah of love of one's fellow. Avas Yisrael. Love of one's fellow is a very important mitzvah. Even though you haven't actually had any tangible effect that you are able to recognize, there's no doubt that you have had some effect. Everything that a person does has a certain effect, but you haven't been able to see it in terms of the person suddenly becoming more spiritual, more observant, whatever the problems they have. So therefore, with regard to the people who are more distant to from Torah, you have to express a total warmth and welcome them, and somehow or other, either they will improve, and even if not, it is right to care for them and to love them, even in that situation. V'gama makuravim elof. Now coming back to the people that you're close to. And you did reprove them, and they didn't leave off doing the bad things they were doing, where the Gemara says, the Talmud says, it's a mitzvah to hate them, so to speak. Mitzvah la'avim gamken. It's also a mitzvah to love them at the same time. So ushtein heinemes, and both of them are true. Sina mitzad ha'ratcha behem, you hate the bad in them. Now this is what Michelle said as well. You hate the bad in them, and you love the good which is in them. Now the problem is the good, hagonus shabem, it's hidden inside them, but there is good. And what is the goodness inside each person? It's the spark of godliness inside them, which gives life to their divine soul. So you love that. Now that divine soul inside them, because the person that we're thinking about is someone who's doing a lot of wrong things, unfortunately, that divine soul is suffering. And so therefore you can think about that. You could also arouse mercy in your heart over this divine soul. Because the divine soul of this person is in a kind of exile. In the evil which they unfortunately have surrounded themselves with, hagoyva aleha bilushoyim, which is there very forcefully according to the lifestyle that they're living. Va'arachmonus mevateles hasina. And when you feel sorry for their divine soul, you feel compassion for it, then that takes away the hatred, and instead of hatred, it's ma'oreres ava. You feel this tremendous love, even for this person who's doing wrong, and he knows that he's doing wrong, he's learned Torah, he knows what mitzvahs are, and nonetheless he's transgressing, nonetheless you have to love that person. And because you felt compassion for him, so therefore you now feel love for him. As there's a verse which said, "LeYakob asher podas Avram," that Jacob redeemed Abraham. So there's a verse, Jacob redeemed Abraham. What does that mean? Jacob is the attribute of compassion, of mercy, and Abraham is the attribute of love. So the person, through feeling sorry for the other individual and feeling compassion, that arouses a sense of love in their heart. Now sometimes you see very, very negative verses speaking about really having to keep away from certain people, and that's also part of life. Yes, like they try to tell children, say no, learn how to say no, and there are things that people have to say no to. So we do need those borders. And that's how this chapter ends off, that there are things which really are negative, and we have to be able to keep away from that. But in general, the less problematic kinds of behavior, which are not quite so dangerous, the person has to feel a sense of love and concern and compassion. Ultimately, whether it is the people who are ignorant, or even the people who are not ignorant, and also, as the Rebbe taught many times, a concern for the non-Jewish world as well, that the non-Jewish world should live according to the 7 Noahide laws, and to communicate that as well to the people with whom one can come in contact. And so that ends chapter 32. It mentions at the end of the chapter that King David hated the people who were heretics. Now, the Rebbe points out that it's only King David who is able to hate the people who are heretics. Heretics and atheists, etc. Because King David had the divine spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, and he was able to look into another person's heart and mind and spirit, and he was able to see what people really believe. But we cannot say that anyone else is a heretic or an atheist so glibly. People might say atheistic things or heretical things, but does that make them into a heretic? They're just repeating what they heard, or they've got this idea in their head at the moment, but it's not really them. Because ultimately every Jew wants to be bonded with Hashem, and our role in the world is to help everyone realize that they are truly bonded with Hashem. Okay, ladies, with that we end chapter 32, which is the heart of Tanya.